You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog pound, be at First Energy Stadium in 2015 for the action and excitement every game. Secure your Cleveland Browns 2015 season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. Nathan Gurr, Matt Wilhelm, and the kid. Interesting story just kind of coming out right now, and that is that the NFL is considering changes to the combine drill. That's a project that we'll be working on this offseason, Matt Burke said. They'll look at some data. Sean Payton talked about position-specific changes to the drills in order to get the best gauge on how players will transition to the NFL, as well as using data about body types to improve scouting for particular needs. Whatever changes the league undertakes as a whole when it comes to the combine, it's a good bet teams will also be using their own proprietary methods as well. So very interesting. This is while speaking at the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference in Boston. Matt Burke and Sean Payton said the league would look at the traditional drills to see if they can be made more useful to the teams. And to expand on it from Sean Payton's standpoint, he was talking more about position specific. And this is what Sean Payton had to say. I think we're in the midst of seeing some of these measurables change. I know we are. We're going to look at position specific and be willing to start with a certain year and build from that point forward. There's a ton of studies being done now on your bone length as it pertains to your chances of playing receiver, chances of playing defensive back, how your chassis basically is made up. Now, when you're actually putting it to movements other than a cone drill, I think in the long term it's going to show up in a player evaluation. So what do you guys think, Matt? I'll start with you, somebody who went through the combine, et cetera. What do you think about the combine in general, how much those drills relate to what you're trying to do as a linebacker, and what kind of tweaks could be made here?
I think it's very difficult to simulate what is done in an actual game when you're wearing a helmet and shoulder pads when you're wearing next to nothing, you know, going versus bags. Because when you go versus bags, you know, at times you'll do it in walkthroughs and to get warmed up for practice, but you're going against other moving individuals that are paid to be professionals as well. And it's just very hard to evaluate. And I think in some cases, the hype that is centered around the combine to me has grown so large. And they're talking about, you know, the broad jump record that was broken by someone that may or may not even get drafted or drafted.
He's got an Olympic career, though, now, doesn't he?
Yes, now he does. Yes, exactly. Can hold so much merit and literally put someone on the radar and become, you know, a workout warrior and get themselves, you know, drafted higher and or make money, which is what it's out there for. But I think that these changes and the studies that go into tweaking the combine to make it more showcaseable for the individual players is a very, very good thing. But I think it's going to take time, and it's probably going to be a year or two before those changes go into effect.
Do you worry, though, when they're talking about bone length and bone density, they're going to get almost too scientific and forget that you still have to play football?
I think the whole thing is stupid. In fact, I would be interested in a study, and maybe the Browns want to do this. Take a look at all the guys that rise, like, maybe more than 20 spots from the combine. See what their careers look like. I'm guessing those guys are all drafted too high, and I would, if it was me, would take all these risers, take them off my board because they're overvalued. You're looking at buying things and analytically buying guys at or drafting guys at good value spots. I would think that guys that drop in the combine are better value, and you start looking at their performance on the field, and almost, I wonder if there's any statistics to back up.
Well, I know two of the players who dropped the most last year, one was Teddy Bridgewater, another was Chris Borland. The middle linebacker, because he wasn't fast enough, and then he went insane at San Francisco.
And they're both fantastic football players. That's exactly my point. It's like, I think you can almost make a living saying, okay, like Funchess, for instance. Funchess was going to be this top 10. We were maybe even going to take him at 12, and all of a sudden he runs a bad 40. Well, I watched him play enough games, including the games against Ohio State, where he was the only option.
Did they win those games?
Michigan. I don't remember.
Okay.
He was the only option on the field for Michigan, and he still performed in those games. I think he's a good football player, and now he's going to drop. So that's a guy I would eye, not just because he's from Michigan. Conversely, some of these guys that just rocket up the draft boards because of their performances, I'm wary on those guys.
Me too, and to compound your point about the analytics associated with what they can draw out of it is when it comes to the bone density or bone length, what I would like to hear is when they start doing that, you know, in 3 or 5 years, look back on if those guys' careers were injury-laden because of, you know, a weak bone density or a smaller bone length or so on. So try to draw analytics out of that. So it's actually like something, you know, valuable for these teams other than just they're judging it off of bone. I mean, you tell Tom Coughlin, who's 80 years old, about bone density and bone length, and he's going to, you know, he's going to laugh in your face.
So Joel Corey, who was on with us yesterday, former NFL agent, said if the NFL is considering modifying the combine drills, how about testing players in helmets and pads?
Amen.
Makes total sense.
Yes,
it boggles my mind that doesn't happen.
Run a padded 40. You run a fully padded 40. You want to see a lineman get real nasty? See them run a fully padded 40.
How much slower do you run with pads?
It's probably 12 to 15 pounds heavier with the game shoes that you would wear, your helmet, your shoulder pads, fully padded up.
Are some guys just better at carrying pads than others? Is there such thing of that?
Yeah. I mean, you look at Strahan with the fully exposed shoulder. I mean, he was wearing kicker shoulder pads, towards the end of his career. You've seen, John Abraham's done it. Any guy that's got, no flap that comes down to protect that shoulder are wearing a set of custom shoulder pads. They literally just cut off that shoulder. So guys tweak to do whatever they can. But I would say a guy that would run, a 4.5 40, probably run a 4.6, 4.61 fully padded.
It'd just be about a recalibration.
No, I'm just curious.
Yes, but it would take time.
Maybe I said the question wrong. Is there certain guys that stay closer to their track speed with pads on, or is it the same?
No way. It'll alter. I mean,
everybody.
Yeah. How smooth someone runs a 40 in skivvies, which is what they run now, you can get out to a bad start, in that first 10 yards and chalk that up for a bad 40. That's why you see guys run a 4.53 and then a 4.66, or a 4.66 and then a 4.49. The technique that they've been practicing for months in advance for this one opportunity is so key. It's all about muscle memory. Then you add in, they'd have to learn to run that 40 in full pads, and they would master that as well.
I guess my question would be, let's just go back to your college days. It's spring ball, and you're seeing A.J. Hawk for the first time, and he looks great in shorts and, T-shirt. And then you get in the fall, and he still looks great.
Yeah.
Are there certain guys that can carry it over and the pads don't make a difference, and then other guys that get the pads on and they're clunky?
There definitely are, but the guys who evaluate, so the scouts here for the Cleveland Browns, the scouts across the National Football League, in some cases, all those intangibles help, but if you can pass, that's why everybody talks about the eye test. If you watch A.J. Hawk practicing, in shorts and T-shirt, and then see him play, if he's got it or not, or what he needs to work on within two practices.
It's interesting. And I think some guys will have a bigger gap with their 40 times with pads on than others. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who plays faster than their track time?
Never got caught from behind. And although I don't like his Tom Brady bashing, he didn't run that fast in the combine, but he never. I don't remember one time where he ever got caught from behind.
He would run that slant, and he'd be to the house.
Yeah,
off of a beautiful ball from Joe Montana,
from the second best quarterback,
the greatest quarterback
of all time,
according to many people, and mine as well. All right, when we come back, we're gonna have Pete Prisco on. I talked to him at the combine. He's gonna be on with us, give his thoughts on the Browns, this draft, and interesting comments about Johnny Manziel. Again, he wrote that article I've been talking about since the combine. That it's just, in his mind, absurd to give up on Johnny Manziel after six quarters of football. And we'll get more updates on that. Talk about Pete and spark a little conversation. 216-578-0850. Who do you want the Browns to take at 12-19? Have you written Johnny Manziel off? If you have, I do want to hear from you. If you've written Johnny Manziel off, tell me why. If you haven't, tell me why. But I'd be very curious to know if you have, in fact, already written him off after six quarters of football. Pete Prisco says don't do it. We'll be back hearing from him right after this. It's not your-